It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. A star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Good feeling when you're out there and you hear Dave laughing.
Right.
You know, that was always a great compliment.
So, time goes on. You did two one-night stands for HBO.
Right.
You get this show night after night.
Yeah, that was, I did this special during Night After Night.
Right.
I got Night After Night in 89.
So, 89 was... It wasn't Comedy Central. There was Ha
Comedy Channel
and the Comedy Channel.
It was a Comedy Channel.
Right.
They were auditioning again.
Right.
Every comedian in the world.
And you didn't really want it.
No.
You went into this audition to host this late night show.
No, just to be one of the hosts, like VJs. It was
okay.
Just put out, and I didn't give a crap, and I was apathetic. And
right.
That's
the best way to go into
an
audition.
I called this woman. I set it up early. I'm going to call this. I'm seeing this woman on the side.
Right.
I called her up and goes, my bath going to be ready tonight? Yeah, she likes to take care of me. You know,
right.
Really snarky and
right.
Smoking cigarettes, didn't
right.
give a crap. And Michael Fuchs, the head of HBO.
Right.
So I'd go, hey, that's our late night guy right,
right.
there. So that was it. I thought it would last 3 months. It went over 3 years.
And it was 3 hours long.
At
right?
the beginning it was.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then they whittled it down to an hour and a half.
Right.
And then finally we said, we just need a regular talk show.
Right.
So we did a one-hour talk show. Sue Fellows was the producer.
Right.
Scott Carter.
Oh, Scott Carter's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very close friend of mine. Unfortunately, we had a falling out.
You did?
Yeah,
with Scott?
Yeah.
I can't imagine having a falling out with Scott.
I know. Nobody can.
Are you still having the falling
no.
out?
No. I mean, I kind of made up to him.
Right.
In 95, I saw
right.
in Aspen, and, you know, went over, gave him a hug,
right.
no hard feelings, but I really don't hang with him anymore.
Right.
But we were very, very tight.
Oh, what a great guy.
Yeah.
So it was definitely your fault.
yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
You know how that goes.
Yeah. So, all right. So.
He's a great guy, though.
Yeah, he is.
Well respected, so. You know, but
he's brillante. I mean, his vocabulary
he's very, very
is
smart.
Like.
Listen,
yeah.
I handpicked him. I said,
yeah.
"This is the guy I want to work."
And then he ended up, you know, Bill Maher.
Yeah, he smart. Bill Maher sent a memo over. I think Scott was the only one that replied
right.
and jumped on it and saw the potential.
Right.
And it was a great move. I mean, Maher's first one night stand, his first HBO special I saw, and it was all political.
Right.
It was brilliant.
Right.
Now, it had a shelf life of 3 months
right.
because it changes.
Right.
So, if you had told me back then that Bill Maher and Jon Stewart are going to be political
right.
giants, that's going to, yeah,
right.
of course. I saw it coming.
I
night
remember.
After night, the last year, if I got sick, they go, we're going to replace you with Jon Stewart if you
right.
have to get sick. That was the healthiest year of my life.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, because I knew. And he came and he asked for a writing job. I go, John, you don't want to write for me.
Right.
I go, you're going to have your own show someday.
Right.
You don't want to be – I mean, listen, I'd love to give you a job, but I don't want to hire comedians because if you come up with a good line, you're going to keep it for
right,
yourself.
Right, right, and not give it to me.
You're going to – I remember saying to John, you're going to be just fine, John.
Right.
And I'm delighted but not surprised at his,
right.
you know, success.
Yeah. Okay, on your show – Nick Bakay was your sidekick.
Yeah, the
yeah.
funniest man in show business, in my opinion, more than comedians.
Yeah.
Nick Bakay, you know, on the natch, off the cuff,
right.
writing, now running the show Mom.
Right.
Nick Bakay, you know, just hire the guy.
I right.
mean, funny, nice. You talk about smart. Nick is deep smart.
Right.
and knowledgeable and great to work with, and he gets it.
Right.
So it was fantastic. He gave me his book. You know, he auditioned as a writer. You know, mm-hmm. he was, and so I was taking a flight out to L.A. And as the plane is taking off and banking out of JFK, I read like 3 pages. I go, this is a guy.
Right.
You know.
You.
I had really good writers too.
Right.
John Averill, John Derevlaney, Dave Hansen, Dave the Weatherman.
Dave the Weatherman.
Chris and Sam. It was just, I had great writers. It was a fun show.
The thing that was so great about the show was that it was relaxed. It was, you had a desk, but you sat in front of it and did your monologue. Every comic wanted to be on that fucking show.
See, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I had more comics on. I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes. Every comic. And I still remember the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great logo.
I came up with the name, like, right away. Like, they gave me this
company
before I hired anybody. Just, you know, because Arsenio was hot, then Carson was out, Letterman.
Right.
Pat Sajak. He had all these talk shows on, so that's why I put the chair in front of the desk.
Right.
It was Mike Rose, or maybe Pat Whitney.
Right.
He was a producer on the show. Idea for Audience of One.
Right.
A great idea.
Audience of One is awesome.
Another one, this girl who was 16,
uh-huh.
She was an Audience of One. She gave me a little sculpture. She came by and saw me at the Fat Black Pussycat.
No way.
The Comedy Cellar. Just like 10 days ago.
No way. How old?
So cool.
Now she's in her early 40s.
Wow.
And she was gorgeous. I go, you look great. I go, man, I could have married her at 16. It would have been a scandal, but I could have made it work.
Oh,
you know?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you had Dave the Weatherman.
Dave the Weatherman, Dave Hansen.
Right.
And he went on to write for Letterman,
right.
Leno, and still writing today. Everybody went on to good success.
Now,
excuse me.
The show,
which
it's,
didn't surprise me.
Right.
I told people, I go, I'll be asking you for jobs someday.
Right.
You know, you're going to be fine.
Right. Now, the show itself lasted 3 years. But ended because of politics,
yeah,
correct?
Politics. The ratings were going up. I don't know what happened. There was a transition period. There was someone attached to the show that shouldn't have been. They didn't know what they were doing. I don't want to mention names.
Jewish?
No.
Okay.
And I was kind of a little burnt out, but it was time to go.
Right.
And I, you know, in retrospect, I was kind of depressed after that. I missed doing the show.
Right.
But then I, you know, once my acting took off, which is why I came to New York.
Right. You wanted to be on Broadway.
Yeah, I wanted to be on Broadway. It's the only thing I haven't done.
Right.
I've done everything.
Same with me.
Movies, TV,
right.
Commercials, pie eating contests for corporations.
Right. I've done
Jugglers.
Off Broadway.
You did Shakespeare in the Park. Like, that's Broadway actors want to do that.
Yeah, I did Shakespeare in the Park.
You skipped Broadway.
There was an all-female Taming of the Shrew. I played Gremio.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
When'd you do that?
2016.
Fantastic.
Is that Broadway?
Yeah. Okay, look, Shakespeare in the Park and doing something at Lincoln Center, I think, are kind of like skipping Broadway.
All right, but I still just want
to
be in
it. No, I know what you mean, but that's nothing to sneeze at,
yeah.
Carolyn. That's
yeah,
great.
That was
See, I
amazing.
Love theater. That's what I did.
I
college,
love theater, too.
You know, but there's not a lot of
Me
money
too.
In it.
Yeah, I know.
Your ass off.
I have lost so much money doing theater, but learned beyond anything that's the problem. It's like, and my agent's like, dude, you really have to do this. I'm like, yeah, but I have all this work, and you don't understand. And you know,
yeah.
I followed my gut,
and now
I have no fucking money. Okay, but
see
now,
what happened, kids? Don't follow your gut.
Yeah, exactly. So, there was one thing during your show that sort of legitimized you. Warren Zevon was booked on your show.
Right.
And
he's coming the next day.
Yeah. And you get a call that he's canceling.
He's sick. Yeah.
He ends up doing Letterman.
No. He did Letterman the night before.
Right.
Letterman came up to him after I heard the skinny.
Oh, all right.
And said, I'm glad you only do our show.
Right.
Because he had heard that he was doing our show,
right.
Letterman. And so they canceled. Ooh. Everybody's bummed out.
Right.
It was like, no, guys. Letterman's threatened. This is
right.
This is
legitimizing.
Legit. Yeah. It's funny. About 4 months later, I'm out in L.A. Go to Hugo's.
Right.
First time there, and I see a guy. He was Arsenio's band guy. He used to play at the Improv.
Right.
I forget the dude's name.
Oh yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know. Anyway.
This is awful.
He's sitting at Hugo's having breakfast.
And he's Jewish as well. Go ahead.
And he's sitting with Warren Zevon.
Right.
And he goes, Alan. I come over and he goes, we're talking. He goes, Alan, this is Warren Zevon. Warren, hi. How do you doing? Nice to meet you. And I almost said to him, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
But he had cancer at the time. He had just found out. He had,
That was good following your gut.
Yeah, I decided not to say it. How bad would I have felt?
Oh, my God.
If I was snarky to him, I'm glad you're healthy now.
Right.
And he died within a year after that.
Michael. His name's Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Nice guy.
Yeah, the greatest guy. And so fucking talented. I'm looking it up. Hold on, please. Michael.
And Zevon looked kind of sheepish.
Right.
You know, so it was, and I loved Warren Zevon, and it was a real disappointment that he wasn't on the show. That first album of his, Lawyers, Guns, and Money, is a perfect album.
Okay, great. I have nothing
here. So, kids, Google him. Get that album. Don't download it. Go to your old, CD store, and it's there.
You were also on the
show. I feel like I'm being interrogated by a cop.
I'm gonna take a break. You were on the cop shows, they always like leave the room for a minute to take a break.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, make them sweat.
Yeah. So
I'm with a lesbian and a tranny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like this?
Lucky day.
Could give a fucking shit.
Community college. That's where I got comfortable with everybody.
Okay.
Nothing intimidates me.
So
I won't say that, but
you were on the short list. To replace Letterman.
Yeah. They had a big audition out in L.A.
Now, for this audition, did you give a shit?
Yeah. Lorne Michaels was the producer. He had already seen me on the new show. New show didn't go well. I don't think, I just think he wasn't thinking about me. And then Conan, of course. I think he had done improv once and loved it.
Right.
And said, I should have the show, and walked out of the room.
It's just amazing.
And then there was silence, and Lauren said, well, what about Conan? And that's how he got
it. Do you think it was just the confidence that he had?
Yeah, and I think Lauren is a risk taker. He followed his gut. Let's go with Conan.
Right, gut.
Very tough at the beginning for Conan.
Yeah, I remember, because I remember thinking, this guy's never done stand-up, and he's going to do a monologue?
Yeah.
And it was...
It was rough for him.
Yeah.
It really was. He's grown into it. He's gotten better.
And he has Mike Sweeney, who
and,
I love.
The
greatest guy ever.
He's a fantastic writer. Sweeney's great. And the show worked out.
Yeah. And he's funny.
And a girl I was dating at the time was working on the show.
Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of weird.
Wow.
But I saw Conan right after the auditions, maybe a month later. I was at the Four Seasons. Conan was getting on LRO. And Conan, didn't know him, came out. And I said, congratulations. And I go, and good luck. I go, I mean that. Because I know how tough it is to do a talk show. I didn't say that.
Right.
But if anybody gets a gig, obviously I was disappointed. I wasn't next in line.
Right.
I wasn't second or third.
Right.
I was in the mix,
Right.
But, and I think I know who they really liked was Scott LaRose.
Oh, yeah.
That night, who was kind of the MC. And
they
thought he was
pretty
good. But anybody that gets a part, I'm always, good for them.
I feel like that, too.
I want people to succeed.
Right.
Even
and
if
there's
they
room
beat me
for
out.
Everyone. There is room
no,
for
there
everyone.
Isn't. There's not room for
there
everyone.
There isn't?
No, there's not room for everyone.
Fuck.
I know.
I thought there was room for everyone.
No, sorry. It's amazing how you just, if I say something, you listen to me because I'm older. And
yeah.
I'm a Gentile.
Not that much.
What's this?
Older. This is our Facebook Live bullshit.
Okay.
Okay, so.
People are flipping out over you, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
B. Jason Willett. That's fucking heavy. Neato.
Oh.
Neato. See, that's your audience. Neato.
I love it. Here's another thing about this ageism thing. Young people like anything that's funny. They don't care.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Good music,
Netflix told me I do not fit their algorithm. So
that is, you should put that on the front of your website.
It's like I feel like I get funnier and funnier the older I get. You know?
Yeah.
Because I have more life experience. I am fearless. I don't care. Like, I used to care, oh, if I say that, I won't get this. And now it's just like, I love being on stage, and I just want to be a great stand-up.
But it's not you they're worried about. It's their audience.
Right.
The audience loves funny.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. It's like Joan Rivers was never more relevant at 82. You know?
Yep.
So I can't deal with that. Okay. So,
and talk about the algorithm. 10 years ago, if you had gone to taken Downton Abbey, how many networks would have turned it down?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's interested in this. This
right.
This is happened 100 years ago. No, nobody's interested
right.
in, you know, a bunch of lords and ladies.
Right.
You know,
fucking addicted to that show.
I mean, oh, yeah. Hey, listen, the guy that played Carson was in Thailand on a biking
right.
tour with his wife, and people came out of a village, like a small.
No
Thai
way. Mr. Carson,
yeah,
I love him.
Carson, they're running him down, and they probably have like one TV in
right,
the
right,
with
right.
a battery cable on it. You know,
that's
Mr. Carson.
A good story will grab
right.
You know, I mean, listen, Mad Men was shopped around.
That's what
well,
I was.
I, you know, let's just talk. I'm going to just mention a couple.
I have about you know
15,
13 minutes.
13.
Yeah.
You said
two. I
oh,
guess.
Fuck.
Yeah, exactly 13.
God damn it, Alan.
It's not a hard out, but, you know, I just...
Yeah, I'm getting a hard out. Hey, everyone. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces, but I live in an apartment and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Wow.
I'm just going to mention a couple of things. Seinfeld. These are just a few shows that Alan has appeared on.
Oh, loved it.
Seinfeld, Curb, Free Ride, Men of a Certain Age, Louie, Good Luck Charlie, The Office, Hail Caesar, and one of my favorite characters of all time, Lou Avery on Mad Men. I saw you on Mad Men, and really? I was like, you are a fucking brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
because you were
a dick.
Such a great, humorless, humor, like fucking asshole. I hated you.
I
fucking hated you.
You're a great actor, too. And that's what I found about comics who don't pursue comedy because they want to be a comic, but who are kind of just born like that, you know, and do it whether they want to or not. Kind of, they're compelled. So,
but I've always taken acting class, and you know,
right.
you have to.
Yeah,
keep,
I studied acting. I wanted to be an actor.
Yeah,
so.
But those the really great comics do such good drama and such good serious like.
But some of them can't act.
Informant with Soderbergh.
No. Oh, yes, I did.
Yes,
I did.
Yeah, I was lucky to get in
that
movie. You look at Rick Overton, Patton Oswalt, Tom Papa.
Yeah, that was a great, yeah.
Smothers Brothers, both of them were.
Right.
All the actors, Jimmy Brogan.
Mm-hmm.
All the actors
were comics.
Yeah, and they did really good jobs. There was no weak links in there.
Right.
If anyone, it was me.
I'm telling you, you're such a good fucking actor.
Thank you. But I'm just saying, comedians can do drama.
Right.
Really well.
Some don't. Some don't know how to listen. But they're, whatever.
But that's not who I'm talking about.
Going back to Mad Men.
Yeah.
First of all, I was a huge fan of the show. Because I told John Slattery when I got first cast on the show.
I love him.
5 years old, tell me I'm going to be in The Honeymooners.
Right.
That's how much I love
that show.
Mad Men. So when I go in and I get, the bigger role, my role is upsized. I'm going to take over for Don Draper.
I know.
Which is still unbelievable.
Right.
First of all, the direction was clear.
Right.
The writing was brilliant.
Right.
The actors were rock solid. They've been doing those characters for 5 years.
Right.
I walk in and, intimidated as hell, scared to death, and got in and I just, nobody said, hey, good luck. They just figured if you're here, you can do this.
Right, right, right.
It was effortless in so many ways because everything was set. The crew was great. So it was. And I told Matt Weiner after about three episodes, he said, hey, he goes, how's it going? I go, honestly, the reality is better than the fantasy.
Right.
The reality, and that rarely happens.
So did you audition for that?
Yeah. And I auditioned to do those little spots in season six.
Right.
Where I just pop in.
Right.
And then I had to re-audition. He wanted to make sure I could act. If not, it would have gone to John Lithgow or something.
Right.
He wanted to make sure I could do full scenes, and so I...
Who else? Do you know who else was up for it?
No. So, I don't think they had anybody yet.
Right.
But I went into audition, and then, I got it. But the first day?
Yeah.
They shot all my scenes on the first day back in sequence.
Wow.
Nice. So, and I knew if I had been okay.
Right.
They would have, they would have had no qualms in saying, he's good, but he's too nervous. Or
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm
sure they would have replaced me.
So. Who did you freak? All right. Work. What was it like being on that set? Like that set was flawless.
I walked. First of all, I sat in every chair.
Right.
Like during filming. I'm going to be in Peggy's office.
Right.
I'm going to be in Don.
Right. Right. Right.
Old office.
Right.
I'll be in Robert Morris' office.
Right.
Come get me.
Right.
And the PAs were great. They go, we'll find you. I'd walk around and I'd see a stack of papers on the secretary's desk.
Right.
And I'd reach down in the middle and pull it out, typewritten, perfect memo.
No way.
Not just like blank piece of paper.
Right.
Everything. I looked at the books on the shelves. It was incredible. Wow. I was so goddamn happy.
Oh, I bet.
That's a gift.
We always have those little things we want. I wanted nothing.
Right.
This is it.
I would have been in fucking like a pig and shit.
Yes. Yeah. What you ever think how happy you would be, you were. I was. It was. And here's the thing. I couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
I had to lie to everyone but my wife.
Aww.
I had to come up with a cover lie.
Right. So what would you say?
The CIA. Yeah. I would say, I'm doing an independent movie. This guy shoots downtown.
Yeah.
He's from France.
He
meets me at different times.
Right.
I play a detective.
Right.
And he doesn't want me to talk about it. So I had to create... And one of my best friends, who's always been supportive, great guy, we had a falling out. He was angry because I didn't tell him.
Oh, my. You couldn't tell him.
No. And the season before, I mentioned it to him, and he told his son. I said, that's it, my wife.
Right.
He goes, not because he has a big mouth. He was so happy.
Right.
I said, I knew I couldn't tell him. I had to lie to him for months, and he didn't like it.
Did you feel nostalgic, like, walking through those offices?
Yeah.
The stapler and the pencil sharpener.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, watching the show, I felt.
Yeah, I always felt like, oh, my God, can I just go back to that period of time and not have a fucking cell phone?
Well, I wasn't in New York.
I
was a kid growing up, but I was, like, Sally's age.
Right.
It was great. It was fantastic. And it kept getting better and better. The scenes were better. The actors... I got to work with a bunch of actors.
Right.
Didn't get to do a scene with Betty,
That right.
But I got to work with Joan.
Right.
And Liz Moss was...
She's amazing.
Yeah, and a joy to work with.
Right.
And she's one of the first ones to kind of after we worked together, you know, she said, "Hey, you're doing great." And, you know,
oh, so, she gave you a little.
Yeah, she gave
you're
me a
okay.
Little,
yeah.
At one point, like we hadn't even talked, she just looked over and she gave me a little wink.
Oh God, I would have come in my pants.
I had such a crush on her.
Oh please, hello.
Like, here's the thing: I brought my wife to the Christmas party.
Right.
We were allowed to bring one. Right. This is still, and she met Ham. He was still shaving, so she met Don Draper.
And freaked.
I disappeared.
Did you get a blowjob that night?
Did I? No, Draper did. she was in heaven, you know.
When
everyone
did you...
was nice to her. Every, you know, when people stop me and go, "Hey, I loved you on Mad Men," you know, if I have time, I go, "Just so you know, if you love the show, everyone's great."
Oh.
Everyone was a good person.
That is really cool of
yeah.
you.
What?
Well, it,
it's
you know,
true. Always, how did you meet your wife?
She was checking coats at Green Street back in 84.
God, I love that.
Fall of 84. And we went out, and I fell in love.
And
then we stayed together, and we broke up for a while.
Right.
And I went out with someone else, and it was a big mistake.
Right.
I got back with her, and I had some wonderful, wonderful affairs.
Right.
But I go, no, this is...
This is who you are.
Yeah, this is it. This
and what does she do?
She's a fine artist, and she was doing well, but she wanted to make her own money.
Right.
This is before we got married. She didn't know if I was going to be around. I told her I got
Wow, that's so unusual for a comic.
Oh, she's very independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for a comic. Yeah. So she went to, she goes, "I'm going to go in 07 when everyone was jumping out the window. She went to UCLA and got a job there and moved around. Now she's with the Institute of Environment and Sustainability.
Oh, that's
And she
awesome.
Does really good work there.
She must love Scott Pruitt. All right, since we're on a fucking budget of time here.
Not a budget. Come on, I've been here an hour so far.
All right, but you're a fascinating person, Mr. Havey.
I know, but you always leave wanting more.
I know.
Wanting more. By the way, Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Do we have anybody
I have
over
the,
there
dates
in the UK?
Now. So, we got people all over the world.
It's funny because, I do have
I'm
going to
be in London at the Comedy Store. I'm going to be in Manchester at the Comedy Store. I'm going to be in Belfast.
August here. Let me put.
Do you, how
on
is it?
August 2nd to and August 26th. He's going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. July 26th and July 28th, the Comedy Store in London, and July 19th, July 21st. I don't know if you're going to be listening to this then or no, I can't do math at the moment. Comedy Store in Manchester. Check him out, alanhavey.com and at Alan Havey.
Okay, so with two L's the wrong way.
Alan.
Alan, H-A-V-E-Y.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer, and I had a delicious lemon ginger liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary, can't speak. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
So how is it performing in other countries?
Right. I've been to Amsterdam, Australia a couple times. And remember, I saw Chris Rock at the Comedy Cellar,
right,
which is another great reason to go there. You see all the greats.
Right.
And it was like 10, 12 years ago. He just got back from Australia. Because you don't have to change anything. The internet. They get everything.
I got to do that.
They know what's going
on. Except they all hate Jews. That's the only
problem. No, they don't.
Leah wants to know if you're going to be...
Alan, you're not a Jew. You don't understand.
Go ahead. What?
Leah wants to know if you're going to be in Miami Beach again.
No. I haven't been to Miami for a while. I don't see myself. Here's the thing. I keep my bookings. Vegas, Tahoe, Fantasy Springs.
I can't with the Tahoe. West I hate Coast. The hotel.
So if I get an acting job, I can go back. This is a big
thing. Sorry, Leah.
Sorry, Leah. Oh, Leah Sutton.
Yeah.
I love Leah. Hi, Leah.
Oh, wow. They knew Green it was Street. You. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we love Leah Sutton. That's where Leah Sutton ran Green Street, where Alan met his wife.
Yes. It wasn't for Leah.
Yeah. She's done a lot for a lot of
people. I'd be a happy man today. I'd be single swinging, baby.
Yeah, bitches.
Come on.
Do you have a booking agent or you do it yourself?
I've booked myself for the last 20 years.
What?
Yeah.
Good for you, Alan Havey, 10%.
I tried to get a few guys interested. They didn't. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I had the gumption.
Thank God for Bud, because he booked me in Vegas and Tahoe and New Orleans when he had the club there. So that really kept...
Bud was good for
and
me,
And I've never
too.
Been, you know, a big road guy. I don't like going on the road a lot. I like being at home. I like auditioning.
Yeah.
You know, I work that. Finally, it came through. I got a great manager, Naomi Odenkirk, and... Brooke Popjoy at Odenkirk Provisorio Entertainment.
Is that any relation to Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah, that's Bob's wife.
I love Bob Odenkirk.
Me too.
He's a great guy.
Better call Saul.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's amazing. Yeah. Saul. So we ask our guests two questions.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. First question, because we're very pro mental health. I have major anxiety. I've suffered from a bad clinical depression.
Uh-huh.
So we're very pro medication. So we always ask our guests if they've ever been on any antidepressant or anything.
No.
Knew it. I knew it.
No.
Okay.
And I have problems with depression.
Yeah.
But not debilitating.
Therapy?
Yeah. Therapy. Yeah. After my dad passed away, I was in New York. I was in therapy for about 3 years.
Right.
And
meditation is so good.
Meditation
because it
really
teaches
helped.
You how to
meditate.
What thoughts are real, what thoughts are, you know, what's fear, what you're doing. Yeah, it's just great. I did cognitive behavioral too, and that's helpful as well.
I consider myself pretty lucky.
Yeah,
I think exercise, meditation,
exercise very diet, important.
And,
endorphins,
just attitude.
Yeah,
just taking.
Yeah, my positive
here's,
attitude.
Here's what really helped me about 10 years ago. The car we had bought. Radio went on the Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it in. They go, it's going to cost $600 because it was a Bose.
Right.
I go, 600? No, I just, the radio, 600 bucks. I go, forget it. So I didn't have a radio or any music in the car for like 5-6 years. So when I would drive in LA, my thoughts were my own.
Wow.
And I think that really helped me just be calm and deal with
Because
stress.
You're not, you know, avoiding. So when they all come at once, you know.
And, you know, I'd talk to myself, I'd sing, I'd, you know, sometimes I'd just be quiet.
Right.
I think it really helped.
I would do some long runs when I was a runner with nothing, and it was really helpful. And when I swim, you know, you can't have, you know, you're with your thoughts.
I ran marathons when I first came to New York.
Yeah.
I started.
Did you do the New York City Marathon?
Three times, 80,
once.
81, 82. Boom. What was your time?
4:51.
That's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
What about you?
3:26.
Fuck you. You're such an asshole.
I was 26
All right.
years old. I was skinny.
Right.
I really took it seriously. That gave me confidence.
Right.
Because I was a young bartender.
Right.
I had no confidence.
Right.
You know. and I needed to build my confidence.
It's an amazing feeling when you finish that marathon.
Yes, it's a confidence.
And you see every part of New York. It's like every, all right, oh. I know you have to go. All right.
No, I just want to show, I got a picture of me finishing. I just
really?
Yeah, Gary Goldman, who's been running, asked me.
I love Gary Goldman.
Send a photo.
Oh, he's going to do the podcast. Hi, Gary. I love you. Yeah. All right.
Great guy.
He is a great guy. And he's in our tall area. You know?
How tall is he?
Like 6'6".
Okay. He's
amazing.
He's gotten bigger. He's 7'8" now.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, 7'8". He's fantastic.
I went to the doctor today, and I'm like about 6'1.5" now.
You doing all right?
No, I've shrunk.
What, like a half inch?
About half
inch. Yeah, about an inch.
I can't find the picture anyway.
All right. Our final question that we ask. Okay.
I feel very blessed and lucky that I'm not on medication.
Right.
Because I got some dark thoughts.
I feel like I take so many pills and I want to stop, but I know that I need them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I don't, I wish, I sometimes, like I meet people and they're like, I don't take a fucking pill and I feel great. And I'm like.
Well, that's good for them.
Yeah.
You know?
What pisses you off more than anything, like makes you fucking crazy, like you want to fuck, like, and anything. Like, it could be people walking with their, you know, looking at their fucking self. But, you know, what?
Well, that, you know, if that really pissed me off, I'd have to get over that.
Right.
Same thing with road rage.
Right.
I realized first 3 or 4 months ago, I can't be getting angry every day.
Right.
I've got to do this. So I do Bing Crosby's voice.
Right. Do
you
it.
Know, that calms down. Well, there's a guy just cut me off. That son of a bitch, he's douchebag of the day. Well, if I'm going to Port Authority because I'm taking a bus to Borgata.
Right.
You know, I go, wow, look at this place. Everybody's going everywhere. So I kind of make everything kind of
right,
fun.
Right. I love that.
Self-righteous anger.
Yeah.
People that have to tell you their opinion.
Right.
Or that pontificate on something. I've caught myself doing it.
Right.
That makes me angry.
There's a
really rude, mean behavior.
Right.
Just for the sake of being mean. Also, in our business, people that run the light.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I know. And I used to be a big light runner.
I used to.
And I realized what a fucking asshole I was.
Well, thank you and spread the word.
Yeah.
You know.
I do not do that anymore.
I learned the rules of the show business very early, watching Carson when I was a kid. And you don't run the lights.
Right.
You don't.
Now, let's explain to the people. We get a light when we have 2 minutes left in our set. Yeah. And some people will go on. And you know what else pisses me off?
Oh, one guy said, is that 2 minutes, that light?
You know
Whoa,
what the
stop!
Fuck it-
You,
you know
son
the
of a
fucking
bitch.
Asshole.
You know exactly what that fucking light means.
You know what I can't stand? See? People who come in to bump you, right?
Right.
And don't acknowledge it. Like, listen, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. Uh-huh. I have a thing to do. And, you know, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. Or they go up and they do a short because they know there are other comedians.
Right.
You guys go up there, just do it.
Do an hour.
Because I'm a star now.
Right.
I got a Netflix show or I'm somebody.
And
fuck you. Yeah.
And
listen, happy for your show. Happy that you can come in and bump me.
Right.
Good for you. But don't do 25 minutes.
But it's also whenever I have had needed something like to get on, I call first. Is tonight a good night?
Not
what's a good time?
Is going to do what you want them to.
That's what?
Wait.
Don't listen to him. Yeah. Don't listen to him. It's okay.
Like people say, well, I don't do that. Of course not, because not everybody's you.
Right.
You know.
Alan, you're very wise.
Well, I had to pull my head out of my ass a couple
right.
of times, very slowly.
Right.
Because you pull it out too fast, you get dizzy, and you stick it right back up
right,
there.
Right, right. Mm.
Thank you.
You're very talented.
Thank you.
I wish you more success. I wish you a part on a Broadway fucking stage for a long, like a fucking great successful show.
I'll live in a studio apartment.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. To get 7-8 shows a week to go to a fucking theater.
I'll well, that's I'm going to Edinburgh. It's an hour a night. I'm working my butt off. I'm challenging myself. I'm a little scared. You know, it's.
Have you ever gone?
No,
I've never done it.
No.
How'd you get in there? Like, what do you do?
John Keyes, the manager who I worked with in London, was there, and they The Comedy Store booked me back. I was there in September, booked me back in late July. Goes, hey, want to do the Edinburgh Fest? So he set it up. He's underwriting
it. That's awesome.
You know, he has faith in me, and I appreciate that. So I'm doing everything I can to get people out. You come see me in Edinburgh. You're going to have a good time.
I want to go so bad.
And I'm gonna meet a bunch of new comedians.
Right.
I love comedians. I'm gonna
right.
do little shows. And
right.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Right. How long are you there for?
A month. You know.
Fucking awesome. Is your wife coming?
Cork. No, wife's not coming. She's got to work.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah. No. But and my wife, I want her to be happy. She's
right.
gonna be happy in a festival atmosphere.
Right. And then you have to worry about her happiness
yes,
while
she
you're
knows
doing.
That. My
yeah.
wife is very empathetic. She
right.
gets what I do.
Right.
Great marriage.
Very
my wife
important.
Is
yeah.
independent, talented.
Right.
Loves me, but she doesn't need me.
Right.
To survive.
Right.
You know.
Neither
I need
I.
her.
Yeah. I've enjoyed every moment of this.
I
this
had
has
a great
been
time.
An honor
really?
For me.
I mean, you're just
well,
a fuck.
You.
You're the
oh,
greatest,
you.
Alan. I wish
Very
you
sweet.
Only success. I think.
And
you
too,
know,
Judy.
Thank
hey, this
you.
Is fantastic. I'm happy for you and you have children. Mm. You know, when I first met you, I go, well, she's a lesbian. She's not going to have kids.
Oh, yeah.
She can't get married.
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom.
That's
now
a
I
great
got two
thing.
Kids.
You
yeah.
know, my sister's very Catholic. She goes, Alan, this gay marriage. Well, you know, honey. I go, Ann, I've been looking around gay people for 40
right.
years. You know.
It's it, not about.
They're not different than we are.
Right.
No, they're just going to hell
and
faster.
And they fall in love. And they want to protect their children and their
right.
spouses.
It's just, yeah.
From the state taking their money. They
right.
want to be able to take that next step.
Right.
Why should we deny them?
Right.
You know?
And
it's
she
love.
Said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
No, you know. She's, you know.
It's just, it's really about proper. I mean, as I've said, when gay marriage passed, people did not go to synagogues and churches to get married. They went to City Hall.
Right.
To get their rights that they are entitled to.
Human rights, baby.
Oh, my God. My kids don't stop calling. All right. Listen, Alan.
Judy, thank you.
Thank you for
Tennessee,
being
thank
here.
Thank
you
so
are the
much.
Best.
Good luck with a cock. You're going to love it,
yeah.
dude.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no. It's nothing like
he,
a cock.
He needs
yeah.
a fucking cock.
Yeah.
Because
right?
he's so annoying.
Maybe I'll get a new one. Maybe I'll get
yeah.
an update.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
We could do – we could go in together.
No, that's cool.
No, you don't want to pick each other's dicks?
I don't want to group on. No,
oh,
dude.
All right.
No.
Okay. All right. You're
no.
still getting a picture of mine, though.
Yeah.
No.
I have
not,
your email.
Please do
it's gonna
not.
It's going to happen. Love you guys.
It's so rude.
Yeah.
We didn't do that in the old days.
Balls are not good.
We drew pictures of our dick.
Yeah.
You've been a beautiful crowd. Thank
you,
Judy.
Thank you, Alan Havey.
And
check
all
out,
three of you for being
yes.
here today.
Check out Alan at alanhavey.com, at Alan Havey on all the social media.
And
I'm going to
get my Twitter thing going. I'm going to get that back up and running.
Nice.
Yeah, you got to do Twitter. You're so fucking smart.
Yeah, I'm not that smart.
Oh, all right.
I'm just
He's
lazy.
Not that smart.
He sounds like a comic.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank
all right.
you.
Thank you. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.